from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We're on your way to start the day. We got what you need.
Welcome to the morning shift.
It's the most mid team in history.
A whole new way to start your day with nationally televised reporter Tiffany Blackman.
Any pizza for me can be a personal.
Can't wait.
Former Falcons and Alabama offensive lineman Mike Johnson.
I've had my butt chewed by Nick Saban a few times.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
And Atlanta sports radio guru Bo Morgan.
You know who I am? I'm Squid Bill.
You tell him I'm coming. And hell's coming with me, you hear?
It's a new experience.
And a new take on a sports morning show.
The morning shift is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
No, Michael Penix did not get traded to Seattle. I'm just making stuff up. Welcome to the morning shift. Triple in for Tiffany. She's heading out to Hawaii.
She should be there by now.
Should be there by now.
I would think. If not.
What's that game, Hawaii and who?
UCLA.
Oh, there we go.
UCLA is a 14.5-point favorite.
Hey, we're going to get in a lot of college football today, which is, it's here. Thank goodness. Braves get the sweep last night. See a lot of Braves fans in the crowd last night. So I could imagine. I saw this this one family. It was the mom and dad, young daughter, young son. And I just wonder how much hell they went through just trying to get out of the house. I bet the daughter was having a tantrum. The little boy wouldn't put on his shoes, and then they start heading to the ballpark, and the husband stops. He goes, I forgot my broom. We got to go back and get my broom.
For the
sweep. Like, oh, my God, we can't get to the game. He had to go back and get his broom because there was a sweep last night.
Well, why didn't you just stop at Walgreens?
No, it has to be his lucky broom.
Then the kid's
got to
be in the car that much longer.
Kid needs to grow up.
Yeah, well,
I'm kidding.
Dad needs to leave the freaking broom at home. How about that?
I'm kidding. No, obviously, that's a joke.
Quickly, though, Taylor Heineke actually heading to San Diego for was a conditional.
Well, San Diego doesn't host an NFL team anymore, but because I'm with
I'm
you.
I'm sorry, LA. I mean,
no, I know. I can't get a handle on it either. And I'm still calling
something.
Them Oakland, too. The Oakland thing I can't shake.
Can I tell you? I think Taylor Heineke's probably happy he's heading to the Chargers. Because he's going to be the number two. I think he would be happier if he was heading to the Chargers and we're still in San Diego. Because where it ranks on a city ranking of cities I've been to, San Diego is far above L.A. Yeah. Far above L.A.
Well, still in the land of a high taxes, though.
It is. It is. But I think Taylor makes enough. He'll be
okay.
I'm sure
Rob, to that point, he's probably like, couldn't have looked at the Dolphins or something.
Yeah.
Income tax rate down there.
Don't the Cowboys need a quarterback?
I think the Titans look good. It's a funny you talk about that, man. Me and my wife were trying to decide, this coming up weekend, there is no NFL games, and obviously I'll be plugged in Saturday to college football. But on Saturday, and really throughout the weekend, there's monster trucks at Gas South up in Duluth, and I was like, man, you think the kids could put the old earmuffs on long enough to go up there? And you know, we kind of had the decision. We were like, man, there's always the decision when you find, an activity for your kids or for you, whatever it
right.
is. It's like, are they going to enjoy this? Are we going to enjoy this?
Right. Because they can keep you from enjoying it.
There's usually not the chance that, there's no in between. Like, either the kids are miserable, and so you're miserable, or the kids are having a good time, so you're having a good time.
Yeah, Day-Day just nodded in agreement because of all the kids he has. He has put those kids in like a big old Partridge Family bus.
Yeah, he does. He's got the Philip Rivers.
The craziest thing about Day-Day is he's got them from like age 25 to age 4. And it's there's like his kids can babysit his other kids. It's kind of
a beautiful thing.
It's kind of I think he kind of did it intelligently, obviously. But
I'm pregnant just being in the same room with him.
Dylan, you better watch out. on that aspect about, you know, taking your kids places, my parents took us everything they did. Even events where I was like, I don't want to be out here. I don't want to come to this car show. But we went to every single thing.
Yeah, not me, man. But my parents kind of were just kind of distant. Dad was never around. Here's a bag of glass. Go outside, have fun. That's what it was for me.
Glass.
we're starting to enter that era in my house where, you know, a year and a half ago when we started this show, it was like, man, you can't be my daughter just couldn't be reckoned with. You know, she was like one. She just turned one, I believe, when we started the show, or was about to turn one. And so when you're moving, I'm moving into this era finally where my kids can kind of be bargained with a little bit, or can be bribed, both of them. So I'm like, all right, if you can bribe your kid, you can throw them in a little double wide stroller and make anything happen. Go down to Piedmont Park or whatever.
Don't do that. Be careful with that. I did date a girl that had a kid, and every time we left the house, we had to go to, like, the kid had to get a toy. Like, either it was a Happy Meal or, like, if we went to a grocery store or Walmart. I'm always like, this is ridiculous. Like, this is utterly beyond the point of return and ridiculous. Kid can't get a toy every time they walk out of the house. So that was my thought anyway. So I think you got to be careful with that. I'm not a parent, but you got to be careful a little bit with the bribing thing, or it kind of...
I think it depends on what the activity is. Yeah, you don't want to give them a toy every time they walk out of the house. But if you are doing a Saturday stroll through a festival, then yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Whatever, my theory on it is this. If I've paid to go somewhere for a ticket to enter somewhere that's in my best interest, then they will get a bribe.
We always get a souvenir for going to those places.
You
got to
pick your battles.
Yeah, like a festival or something.
Right.
Yeah, we would always get like a small souvenir. Yeah.
That's kind of the weighing factor to me.
But if we weren't good, we didn't get anything.
Just give that kid a gummy. I got to give kids a gummy and let them just kind of be in a dream.
Why don't you just give
them
a flask, Rob? Here you go.
That's how I grew up.
Here's a fifth.
Drink up, Johnny.
Silence. You know,
NyQuil.
Not to get off bad parenting tips, but last night with the Braves, real quick, that game was what Mike. Remember when we were talking about the Braves yesterday, and I was like, And I was not sold. Tiffany said, how are you on the offense? I said, I'm cautiously optimistic. I need a little bit of clutch hitting. And State came in here. Robin chastised at me. They scored like 18 runs in the past two games. I go, yeah, do it when it's a tight game and I need a big hit.
Can we do it this weekend, too?
And I would say that this is a team who's, what, won 12 of 16, and they've won five straight series, and they're coming off a sweep. They have had timely hitting as of late more than ever. And last night in that seventh inning, I thought that was probably as timely of hitting as we've seen for this team all season, where Olson gets the big hit to put them ahead, and then Luke Williams gets the hit. I mean,
the story is he's been with L.A., Philadelphia, San Francisco, Miami, and now Atlanta. Journeyman.
And he looks like he's 23.
Yeah.
He doesn't look very old, but
he's
the
a track guy in high school. 100
was he really?
High
yeah,
school,
well, yeah. That makes sense. They've used him some pinch hitting, pinch running situations.
And I really did a deep dive on Luke Williams. His sister plays softball at Iowa State, the Fighting David Archers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Are they Midwest people?
I think they're from California, actually. But good for him, though. That's only his second start since getting called up. He's just trying to scratch and claw a career together. Laureano, good has he been?
He's been unbelievable.
What, the other night goes Oppo? Last night goes Oppo? He's just – what a likable, rootable team they are right now with the cast-offs.
Yeah.
They're not the juggernaut they were last year. They're about to injure, but they are very likable and rootable.
It's the lens of expectations, right? It's the lens of expectations. It's what do you expect? Not only that, but how many zeros, I guess, are on your pay stub. But when you look at guys like that, and I mentioned this to Bo earlier, I think next spring in spring training is going to be a lot of interesting kind of roster moves. When you look at some of these guys will get invited to spring training, and when you look at how many kind of B players they've had to bring in just to make it at the end of the season, but have also put a good foot forward, Urshela is another one that obviously did not play last night, but has put a good foot
He's
forward.
He's a little banged up is what Snit was saying.
Yeah, and so I think when you look at that, you look at the depth of the pitching, the 40-man next year will be interesting. But last night was a weird game, man. You can't go much further without highlighting Chris Sale. He was very, very good, win number 15, all the above. And the strange thing is, I don't know if he was his best. But
he had to grind a little bit. Remember that fourth inning?
Well, it was a game. It was loaded.
He had a lot of deep counts, but Minnesota's great. They're fouling everything off.
Yeah, it was kind of a tale of two outings for him. Like, because the first three innings, he was dominant. I think he got through the first. I think the first three innings, he thrown like 35 pitches, and then that fourth inning. To your point, Rob, I think he threw like 35 pitches in that inning alone.
Yep.
And it was crazy how then he grinded through. He got hit in the face with a ball, a comebacker. It came off his glove.
What did the interim pitching coach say to him? Went out there and said something. Normally, Chris Selby, like, don't come out here. Leave me alone. Interim pitching coach comes out there, says something, and he gets out of the inning.
So he said, man up.
Man up.
You're Chris freaking Sell. Act like it.
Act like it. Sounds like that line from Rudy. Hey, Falcons quarterback has a new address. And are we going to talk about the roster again? Can we just play football?
We're going to talk about the practice squad roster.
That's okay.
Which we'll has been announced. Then. Well, some of it.
Just hit somebody. Hit any damn body. Run the damn ball. Get some takeaways. Don't turn the ball over. Let's go to the playoffs. There you go. There's your recipe right there.
You left the one thing out. You got to do score more points.
Score more points. Nah, just hit somebody. It's Morning Shift Sports Radio, 99 a game.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What are the haps? Start the day the right way with the Morning Shift.
With Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
All right, all right.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This hour of the Morning Shift brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Triple in for Tiffany today and tomorrow since she's in Hawaii. And Falcons, 13 players to the practice squad. They may not be making the big NFL bucks, but $12,500 a week ain't bad. And they're allowed
what? Is that what it is these days?
Yeah, it's about 12. What was it when you were playing?
Wasn't that much. I want to say it was about a quarter of that. I'm not really sure, though. I think it was about a quarter of that.
What are you allowed? You can be dressed for game day, what, three times? Then the fourth time you have to be put on the 53-man roster?
It's just so much different than it was when I was playing, man. You know, you had to be in your first 3 years of service when I was playing. They took the lid off that with the last CBA to where now you could be a 15-year veteran and still playing and making that money.
And were there like six guys on the practice squad back when you?
Yeah, there were. Well,
it was eight, right?
I think it was eight. I was going to say it was seven or eight. And it was just, it was what you think of in terms of a scout team in college, man, to be honest with you. You know, you have a couple walk-ons here and there and, developmental guys and this, that, and the other and a couple of freshmen. I mean, that's essentially what it was NFL-wise. It was a look squad, a taxi squad, whatever you want to call it. Now it's just different, man. Now it's, completely like a stash away or a stowaway for talented guys that can be in year 10. I've talked about it a number of times, Rob. I mean, Julio Jones was on the P squad in Philly last year. It's like, that didn't even seem legal. Well, it's unbelievable.
Well, that's a difference, and I think there's a lot of confusion, honestly, about how the practice squad works these days because it's drastically changed in the last 5 years. Yeah. It expanded with COVID, then it expanded. It expanded with COVID, and then they kept it, but they reduced it. But then it expanded, I think, a little bit more, if I'm not mistaken, when they went to the 17-game model. You can basically, the way it works is you can have 16 players, and the Falcons can have 17. Because
you
they
get the international player.
Because they have the pathway. The international pathway player. But all players with zero accrued seasons and those with fewer than nine regular season games and their lone accrued season are eligible. But then, additionally, teams can have up to 10 players with two or fewer accrued seasons. But there's more. They can have up to six players with unlimited accrued seasons on the practice squad, which is the where Julio Jones came in. Kevin King is a guy on this team that plays into that. Of a he would be one of those six, right? Because he's got more than two or more accrued seasons. So it has become a little bit tricky to understand who can be and who can't be, but they do have six players that basically can have as much time in the NFL as they want.
There's got to be a lot of these guys that are relieved, though, because there's so many guys. It's got to be the most surreal thing that last weekend, that was the final time they'd ever put on a helmet and shoulder pads.
Well, you don't know it. It's not surreal because you don't know it.
Yep.
I mean, that's the bottom line.
But when it happens, though, it's like, wow, it's done.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll tell you how kind of my thing ended. I had a very, very heavy feeling when my last injury happened. It was preseason 2014. And I thought to myself, I don't know if I can rehab and come back from this. Like, I've spent so much time, man, just rehabbing and grinding and just training room and just this, that.
Well, didn't you have that, what you described as I kind of had a sad workout with the Dolphins, you know?
Yeah, and you get these calls, and you're like, oh, awesome, an opportunity, right? And then I go down and work out for Miami, and it's like, you kind of have this, like, during the workout, I had a pit, and I'm watching all these, I think I was down to, like, six other linemen. And I was looking, and I was going, dude, I might be better than one of these guys right now. Like, I don't have the power that I used to. I don't have the drive. And obviously, when you're rehabbing an injury, you don't go and do, like, heavy back squats and, you know, all kinds of footwork and ladder drills. So you're not, like, to the, you know, the most explosive. But you get on there and give it everything you have. And I'm looking around going, I don't know that it's in here anymore to be able to do what those guys are doing. So they ended up, I think they signed Jack McClendon, who's another buddy of mine that used to play in Atlanta with me in that Miami workout. But I remember being on the plane or heading to the airport, you know, limping my way through the airport and going, dude, this is just not, I can't do this anymore. So that, I had an inkling when it was, you know, when that last time I took off shoulder pads.
Then you went on a 5-day bender, didn't you?
Right. And then, and then, you know, 8 months later, then you're like, okay, it's definitely over. So some of these guys, you know, the last time they took off pads last weekend, they just didn't know it. And they'll continue that battle. But yeah. Look, something just piqued my interest, Bo, and I don't know if I realized it, and I don't know if people listening realize it. You were talking about there's a 16, you can have 16 players. The Falcons don't have 16 yet.
No, they actually have 14.
Yeah.
And they have three more spots because of the international player. Ogini does not count against them because he's the international pathway player. The Falcons have three spots on the practice squad, Mike, but there's more. They also have an additional roster spot available now after the Heineke trade.
Ooh.
So they looked for them to do more. Rob, you said as we're coming back to break, Donovan Mouton was a guy that you hoped to make it. I hoped he'd make it as well. He's not on this practice squad. Is he a guy that maybe they're looking at signing to the roster? Or just is he still out there for them on the practice squad? I don't know where
I just loved him based on that interview with Arch. I wish we had that. It was the most inspirational thing I've ever heard. His attitude and spirituality, yeah. His maturity, it was just amazing to listen to. I just rooted for him immediately.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's somewhere floating back there. I mean, we have the interview. It's ours. So, there's still work to be done. They signed guys like Chris Blair, Natron Brooks, Dane Cruikshank, who is one of the guys that has 5 years or more. You know, Dylan Drummond's a guy. John Fitzpatrick is back. Damone Harris, another guy with a little experience that they're able to use. He's one of their players. So we've got Carlos Washington's another guy, and even Andrew Stuber, who was an offensive. So they signed all of their own guys back on the practice squad.
I have an opinion on this, so I'd be curious to get you guys' kind of thoughts. The roster spot that was opened by Taylor Heineke being shipped off, do you think that's a P-squad player that was on this list being called back up, or do you think that's somebody from another roster you're claiming on waivers right now?
I personally think it might be a wide receiver off waivers or a trade that they might want to make. I think I don't put anything past Terry, what we've seen him do, that he doesn't have another trade in the cooking up. So that's personally what I think.
What are the positions with the least depth?
Well, you only kept five wide receivers.
Yeah. Right now it's quarterback.
You only kept, yeah, you need a quarterback for at least the practice squad. You need a third, you want a third quarterback there.
Does that mean Bailey Zappi's going to end up in Flowery Branch?
What about Logan Woodside? Did he get cut? Because that's the one. He had a really good preseason up there in Cincinnati.
But if he's in Cincinnati and he had a good preseason, that means he can do kind of what it is that they're going to do, right? That's what I look at when it comes to quarterbacks. What is a similar system? If you've played in a similar system right. in the preseason, that's to me a guy that you would pick up. So, and I think Cincinnati is a similar system because didn't Zach Taylor come from the Sean McVay system?
It does say that Logan Woodside is on the P squad up there too. But you know, we talk about Minnesota. You have a couple of that was a kind of a deep quarterback roster for a little bit. You had four starters there last year. That included Kirk Cousins. I don't know that one of those guys would be, what you'd look at bringing in. But I think you'll probably bring in a quarterback to put on the P squad. I think that once these guys, and this is kind of where I was angling it, once these guys have cleared waivers and land on your practice squad, I don't know if you want to mess with that and bring them up because then you're dealing with another situation and more bodies moving. I do think, to your point, I think they look at other positions around the team and probably bring somebody straight in off waiver straight to the 53. And it will be intriguing to see who they do that with. We talked about this yesterday, Bo. I do wonder if there's an interior swing guy that could possibly do that on the offensive line. I also think that when you look at the running back depth, it's not something I love right now. Like Jace McClellan, I don't know that I love either one of those guys as third running back options right now. I think it's a huge drop off after Tyler Allgeier. So I'll be curious to see what maybe you bring in a running back, special teams ace that can do that as well. But it would be strange to me to trade Taylor Heineke and bring in another third quarterback on the active roster. I guess is you just have to wonder what they're going to do with that spot.
Well, good for Taylor Heineke. Undrafted. I mean, this is going to be, his 10th season?
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
He's got a lot to be proud of. I know everybody wants to make fun of him, this, that, and the other, but I do look at somebody's humanity.
I don't understand making fun of him. Just like we talked about, I don't understand making fun of Desmond Ritter and the whole thing.
He got put on the practice squad. So.
And I'm glad for him, but I don't understand making fun of him. I said this yesterday. What are you doing in your life where you can make fun of a guy living out his dream, especially a guy like Taylor Heineke for 10 years.
Desmond Ritter was not good here. There's no in between. But he was a third round quarterback drafted by Arthur Smith and giving absolutely zero weapons at his disposal. Really not having a chance to succeed. Worked hard, was a great teammate from everybody's account, and he did everything he was asked to do. Just could not get the job done. And so, to Bo's point, we talked about that yesterday, Rob. I was like, why are we hating on this kid? Everybody's like kind of making fun of the DoorDash commercial. And there's a couple people being like, DoorDash drivers got some, competition. Yeah.
You mean the commercial he made money for?
Yeah, I mean like.
Millions?
I don't know. And I'm sure there's people listening going, man, screw that guy.
He's trash.
It is what it is, man. And granted, I won't go into it. Bo and I have had these conversations a ton off air where a name will come up. And it's like the first inkling that I feel like, the first inkling you get off a name that you've watched play is different than the one I have some of these guys that were friends of mine. You know what I mean? I'm like, that was a good dude. And other people were like, the guy couldn't do anything on the field. I'm like, I don't care. Like, he was a good dude. And I know I realize that there's a reason that I look at it a different point of view. But back to your original point, Taylor Heineke, he's landing in a phenomenal situation for Taylor Heineke. Phenomenal. I don't know that you could have asked for a better situation for him.
No, because I think he might get a chance to play, and I think it's because Herbert has had moments where he hasn't stayed healthy, and then you look at
was hurt. He was hurt the preseason.
Yeah, and he's been hurt here and there through this regular season.
And you have a veteran guy that's seen a lot of football.
And I think Jim Harbaugh is going to bring an offense there that they want to run the ball a little bit more and kind of set a tone, and I think it could fit him. I look at it differently too because I have been I'm not in the trenches like you, Mike. But I've been on the road with these guys and see how hard a lot of these guys put into it, how much they sacrifice to live out this moment and this dream. And, paycheck, it comes with it. But they're sacrificing to do it, so I'm not all in on the, a guy that's never accomplished anything athletically to trash a guy that has.
I agree. Absolutely agree. All right, coming up next in our TV's timeout, college football, Notre Dame at Texas A&M. We got Georgia, Clemson. We have the buyout bowl, Florida and Miami.
Watch it, tough guy.
The Morning Show, Sports Radio 99 again.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one. Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Are you injured? Did you slip and fall at work? You want to sue somebody? Well, go to Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm.
Rob, you just got a fresh pot of coffee, huh? A cup?
A cup.
You know, I was down there the other day. You know what I noticed? We got a little store downstairs on 8th floor, like a little, it's almost like our makeshift convenience store where you can check out and you go by the honor system, but they do have cameras.
I was going to say, it's not really an honor system if you have cameras.
Well, I haven't heard anything yet. Law enforcement hasn't gotten me yet, yeah. So I'm good.
Well, the coffee's free.
Coffee's free.
But you know what they have down there?
What's that?
They have Funyuns.
Ooh.
They have, you know, they have the Paulding County breakfast of Funyuns and a Mountain Dew. You can get both of them down there.
I love the Paulding County breakfast.
It's like they've set the store up for me.
It's like the Nouveau RC and Moon Pie, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know why I don't appreciate your disdain for Funyuns.
The Funyuns are disgusting.
And I think you're disgusting, then. Yeah, how about that? You know what? You're disgusting. Funyuns are an American treasure.
I'm as gross / convenience store food as it comes. Like, I don't have
gas station sushi.
Dude, I'm all about it. I am my high school breakfast eater. You grab the first thing that looks
right.
Good. You know what I mean? And as a matter of fact, I'm going to tell a story in mic'd up in, you know, about an hour about what I ate for breakfast this morning and how I did one of the dirtiest things I've done in a long time to somebody. But
crop-dusting him?
No, man. I did this guy so wrong, man. I the guilt I have on my heart right now over this fellow this morning is severe.
Hey, but, so the mic'd up's going to be a mic'd up of repentance.
You know what I'm going to do tonight?
But the Funyuns smear just over the edge. I don't know what it is. They just seem like a paste that's been dropped in a deep fryer.
Like a half a bag, and then that little pasty film stays and lingers.
I got to go to Sam's today to grab some. I'm getting some food for the weekend. Some meat and some chocolate covered almonds because those are my jam.
They still selling caskets at
and,
Sam's?
I don't know. I need to check. You need me to get you one?
Well, why not?
Never can be unprepared, right? And I'm gonna see if they have like the Sam's version of like a bag of Funyuns. And if they do, I'm gonna bring it in here tomorrow and eat it. And every break, I'm gonna eat Funyuns in front of you.
Oh, I think that might be like drawing a mustache on the Mona Lisa. The integrity of the Funyuns brand when you try to
just
do
push
a knockoff.
I mean, I'm talking about like the Sam's version. I mean,
the 55 gallon drum of tuna.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean.
The thing is, it's not like I'm riding a high horse. I am. I have no problem with like eating a Quick Trip pizza. That's fine. Like Funyuns for me, or for whatever reason, and maybe that's a good wake up call. You know, kind of topic today. Funyuns to me, for whatever reason, I just can't do it, man. Like I don't know what it is about Funyuns. I cannot stomach Funyuns.
We need to
just seeing that yellow bag.
Dude, it's look. Just. Yeah. Oh.
We need to put them on the W sauce and Status Truck and Trailer Repair Z71. Maybe get a sticker for them, a logo.
Well,
maybe across the windshield.
Gentlemen, we've got a lot of and guess what we're going to do? We're going to let college football bleed to the top of the hour, too. I'm sorry. We're marinating in this. All right? You hear me? That's what we're doing. Exactly.
Take it
decision.
Over, man. Take
That's
it over.
Right.
Drive the boat.
Who are you scolding right now? Who are you talking to?
Just I'm like an old man just shouting at the clouds.
That's what we're going to do.
Don't tell me otherwise either. Well, I didn't. Well, it doesn't matter.
Hey, we got some college football tonight. Lindenwood versus Kansas. Lindenwood. I want some Lindenwood gear.
This is
Missouri is where Lindenwood
are
is.
Are they one of the new teams in the Big 12?
It must be.
Fill out the spots.
We got Western Carolina, NC State tonight at 7.
The Catamounts.
Yes, we got who else we got? Southern Utah and Utah, Murray State and Missouri. Got Temple and Oklahoma tomorrow.
But the good game might be Kansas and Minnesota. I mean, excuse me, Minnesota and North Carolina.
Could
that
be.
That might be the good game because North Carolina's going to Minnesota.
I think tonight North Dakota State and Colorado is must-see TV. And if Colorado
loses, you
want to
talk about two different
that,
brands of football being on display.
Old
school and sexy flash.
I don't think there's ever been two more polar opposite brands of football being put on the same field at the same time than you'll see in that game tonight.
Like Vince Lombardi going up against Jerry Glanville. Right?
There ain't a Louie to be seen in that North Dakota State locker room.
That's a good pull there, Lombardi versus Glanville. Will the trenches for Colorado be improved? Because there's been a lot made about how bad they were last year. Was it Hunter or one of the Sanders? I think it was one of the Sanders sons that talked about how bad Colorado offensive line was on the video game.
Shadur and Sanders. Hunter. I'm sorry. It was Shadur and Travis Hunter that went in, and Travis Hunter kind of went in on the offensive line about how bad they were. The thing is, it's none of the same guys, so it's not like you're talking about your teammate. It's a completely different offensive line. I think it's going to be very much for me, and I'm old school as far as offensive line goes, I think it's going to be very much a test of how far can your communication come as a group in a short amount of time. And you don't have preseason games with them. It's all scrimmage work. But when you see a crazy, exotic look that you're not used to seeing, or a twist game and to pick up things, how quickly can a group of five new offensive linemen get that picked up and be on the same page as the quarterback?
You talk about this. I think also a very interesting game. Notre Dame going to College Station to take on Texas A&M. Remember, Irish lost both their tackles. They have a new quarterback. They have to deal with all that noise. How difficult is that going to be for Notre Dame with that noise? You basically got a bunch of new offensive linemen and a new quarterback.
Well, they have a new quarterback, but Riley Leonard's a hell of a player, and he might have been one of the three best quarterbacks in the ACC the last couple of years.
There's no doubt.
So that being said, I think it's more of Notre Dame handling the atmosphere. I know they've played
in
big atmosphere.
That's my point is, how's that communication going to be with – you got two new tackles, you got a new quarterback in that environment. How do you get ready for that? What did they do at practice at Notre Dame? Did they blare the Metallica concert from Russia in 1991?
From
in front of 1.6 million
I don't know if
people?
They're allowed to do that at Notre Dame.
What are the rules?
They're so virtuous.
Father might come around a corner and have something to say. No, we used to blare the crowd noise. We used to crank the concert speakers up about 2 yards behind the quarterback and blare at the offensive line. And it's never quite as loud. It's not as consuming as it is when you're in an actual road game, to where the guy next to you, all you can see is his lips moving as he screams at you. But I'm with you, though. To me, I think Notre Dame's a good team, but I would not want to be in that situation walking into A&M and a fan base that, although we do think they're a little quirky, with a newfound sense of energy, not only because they have a new coaching staff, but look, man, Texas A&M feels like they need to, in my opinion, from the Texas A&M people I know, they feel like they need to set up a picket fence a little bit around their spot in the SEC, because Texas is coming in and Oklahoma is coming in. And it's like, hey, we were the Cinderella for about 10 years. You know what I mean? We're the new guy. We're the Texas team here. And now it's not so much, man. So I'm sure that they are going to be hungry when they take on Notre Dame.
All right, we're still marinating in college football. Clemson an afterthought. Is that the proper way to be? Should they be an afterthought? And, of course, we got to get to the buyout bowl. Florida and Miami. It's the Morning Shift Sports Radio.
Oh, you tread lightly.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We're gonna get on down now.
We're talking all things Atlanta sports and beyond. This is the Morning Shift.
Make some noise!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A lot of college football to get into. Welcome back to the Morning Shift. Triple in for Tiffany. But before, got to mention this. The Steelers have a starting quarterback.
Ooh, who is it?
Is it Justin Fields? No.
Neil O'Donnell.
It's Russell Wilson. Neil O'Donnell with Neil O'Donnell had no lips.
Really?
No lips.
Did he need the injections?
It just went chin to nose?
It just went chin to nose.
Right, chin to nose?
That'd be hard to call for the ball.
Look up Neil O'Donnell, no lips.
Now I want to relook at Neil O'Donnell. He had a beard at one point, didn't
Mark
he?
Mark Malone is going to be the starting quarterback.
Mark Malone, that's a good pull. That is a good pull. I mean, you had to top me with the with that.
Yeah, the old man,
Hold on, I'm looking at him.
Is it Herbert on Family Guy? Y'all know who I'm talking about, the old man.
Oh, he has lips here, but I think he's making, like, the duck face.
He's like trying to have
an original duck face.
Herbert on Family Guy, man. That's who I'm thinking of right now, speaking of no lips.
Hey, Chris, what you doing?
Yeah, that's dude.
You do a creepy old man voice very well, Dylan.
Well, his name's Herbert because it rhymes sort of with something.
Bubby Brister is a starting quarterback for the Steelers a week from Sunday.
In all seriousness, are you surprised that Russell Wilson got the nod? I personally am not at all in any way.
Add the veteran thing.
What?
And the track record. I mean, clearly Justin Fields is intriguing with the athleticism and all the things. And you know what, Mike Tomlin. Let's hear from Mike Tomlin. Let's do track 11. Why don't we?
Track 11.
I met with both quarterbacks here just a few minutes ago after practice, and I informed them that Russ is QB1 going into week one. It was a difficult decision, but not difficult in a negative way, to be quite honest with you. It was difficult in a positive way. The decision was difficult because of what they're capable of doing. The decision was difficult because of how they have conducted themselves, as opposed to the things that they fall short in terms of capabilities or negative conduct.
I here's what my first thought was when he announced this. Whichever one it would have been is probably not the same guy that's going to be there in week 10. Like, as sad as that is, that was my first thing.
I
was like, you know what? Good for Justin Fields. He won't have to play the first couple months, and then he'll get to take over midway through the season when Russell Wilson isn't good. And it's not a knock on Russell Wilson. I feel like that would have been the exact same way the other way around, because I do not think that this offense is in a position to succeed with either one at quarterback. So it's not like they're walking into some great situation here.
Right. Well, they fully intend on weaponizing Justin Fields, though.
You know, just getting to know Justin's capabilities, man, we like it. I know you guys might have some questions about the potential of package football, given his skill set, and that's certainly on the table. But I'm not going to get into many details regarding that or things of that nature, because it doesn't help us from a competitive advantage standpoint. But make no mistake, his talent, his unique talent as it pertains to mobility is something that we're open to weaponizing, although I have acknowledged that Russ is QB1.
So what he's saying is Arthur already drew up the Justin Fields goal line package speed sweep coming out of the slot.
Right, like right.
Johnny Exactly. Is he going to do the play? Is he going to do the play? What about the play that they did in Chicago where, because didn't Heineke start in Chicago, and then you had the play where you bring Desmond in, and it's like it's the reverse, and then they're going to pitch it to him, but then they fumble the pitch. And like all that,
I still don't think they were actually going to pitch it. I know that we went back and forth. Do you remember that? I still think it was a fake pitch.
And so is that going to be the play that they bring us and that we get to see with the Justin Fields package? I think that Russell Wilson won the job because that fits more of what Arthur Smith's offense wants to do. I also think that you got to be careful doing all this package stuff, because you just, in the end of the day, you kind of end up upsetting the apple cart at times. I don't think I heard somebody talking the other day, gimmicks don't work. I don't know who it was. Gimmicks don't work in the NFL. I think it may have been a mistake. And gimmicks don't work in the NFL. You can have packages and stuff, but the gimmick thing,
once in a while, but it seems like 85-90% of the time they don't work.
And if you start putting packages in for Justin Fields, it tells me what you think of Justin Fields. That you think he's a better athlete than he is a quarterback. And if he's a better athlete than he is a quarterback, he won't be playing quarterback in the NFL for long.
No, I'm with you. I think gimmicks based around speed usually don't work. Gimmicks based around power and angles will work.
Yep. That's, or misdirection,
the wildcat formation, things like that. But when it's just based around speed or, you know, things like that, it just doesn't ever come to fruition.
All right, Taylor Heineke traded to the Los Angeles Chargers. What is it for? Conditional
six-round pick. Yeah, okay. I think it has to do with playing time and that kind of stuff, which is, look.
Sounds like a good situation for him, though.
He's your third quarterback. You had a six-round pick. You lost a fifth to Minnesota or in the tampering thing when the league came down. Okay, I'll take it. That's fine. I think it's the best scenario for both parties, and including throw a third one in, be the Chargers as well.
Yeah, we kind of talked about it when Malik Willis was dealt. It was like, what is that? What the market is right now? And you think a little bit more of Taylor Heinicke than you do of Malik Willis at this point in their
career.
With
all due respect, you better be careful. You might lose a mafia member now.
Well, Malik Willis, man, was he Roswell? So there you go.
All right, we'll get to more NFL when we go in the huddle. But I want to get to the college football season is upon us. North Dakota State, of course, and Colorado. If Colorado loses this game tonight, oh, good Lord. The media will declare a jihad on Deion Sanders. They're already wanting to.
I don't think so. I think you get a pass on this one because North Dakota State is such a well-respected program. I think if you're Colorado and I need to look at their schedule and see who else they play, but there's way worse games that you can lose if you're Colorado than North Dakota State.
I think the socials.
I think at this point, though, the socials.
The socials will definitely declare war.
Well, he just won't take questions from them.
Well, he already does anyways, right? I mean, he said, remember, it was something he was getting in an argument with on Twitter, and he was like, I got time today, for something he had going on today.
I think
he loves the media when things are going well. He doesn't like it when things aren't good. He's thin-skinned. That's just what it boils down to.
He's always similar to a politician. You're against me when you say something bad against me, but the rest of the time you're good. I think
great theater, though. I love every second of it.
Colorado State might be the game. If they lost to Colorado State, they're at Colorado State on the 14th. If you lose that game.
You remember how physical that game was last year between them?
That was a slugfest.
Man.
And that was where Colorado State's head coach kind of called him out.
Yeah. Well, that's my point. A lot of trash talk. You're Colorado. You think you're better than Colorado State. You should be better. If they lose that game, if you lose to North Dakota State and then you turn around and Nebraska is we don't know what Nebraska is, but then, that's a flip of the coin, really, to me, with Dylan Raiola playing quarterback, and then you lose to Colorado State.
Looking like Patrick Mahomes, that's
good
weird.
Good old-fashioned rivalry, though.
Yeah,
Colorado-Nebraska.
It used to be a day after Thanksgiving game we saw for years, remember?
Of course, we got Georgia-Clemson. Why isn't this game at Athens at 8 o'clock rather than noon at Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
I was going to say, it's not the location, it's the time.
Yeah.
It's a location, too. These games should be on campus. I understand the financial realities. I've said it 1,000 times. But
I would trade this one being in a neutral site for one of the, for playoff home games on campus, which is what we'll get this year. So
I want both. All.
Well, yeah, I'll say this much, too. Alabama is going to Wisconsin, I think, in week 3, which would be awesome. But it's a noon game. I'm like, dude, that's, what a missed opportunity. Kent Randall and the jump around, everything else that would have been in prime time. No, you're at noon, and nobody will have a good buzz going yet.
I think Camp Randall could be a college bucket list college football destination.
Right? Absolutely.
Are you kidding me?
Absolutely. There's about 4 or 5 in the Big Ten that I would, Happy Valley, the Horseshoe,
Big House,
Camp Randall, the Big House. right off the, I would actually like to go. It's going to sound off the beaten path. I'd like to go to see a game at Iowa to see that tradition they do with the Children's Hospital.
Great,
I'd love to do that one as well.
I'll tell you this much. As a guy who used to take pride in the physical brand of football Alabama played, that's going to be a measuring stick in week 3 for Kalen DeBoer, what that program looks like right now. You're going to get punched in the face at some point up there in Wisconsin.
All right, Clemson. You don't hear anything about Clemson anymore, do you?
Dabo's old news.
Yeah, I was going to say, unless it's about Dabo's lack of portal, portal.
What do they have for Georgia? Do they have anything for Georgia?
You're right. Unless it's negative news about Dabo, you don't hear about Dabo and Clemson. I don't know, because Clemson's a team, Rob, to your point, that struggled. They have struggled in the trenches for 3, 4, what was it, Trevor Lawrence's last year and on. They've struggled in the trenches. Have they righted the ship there? Because that's where it comes down to playing a team like Georgia. Depth is one thing, but if you can't win up front against them, you have no chance.
They are a 13-point underdog. That's their largest spread as an underdog since 2012.
Was that Taj Boyd? Might have been. Back in 2012?
12?
I think it would have been.
Yeah.
All the years run together for me.
Yeah, because Deshaun wasn't there.
He was 15, 14, 15.
16, I think, was his first year, right?
No, they played Bam and the Natty in 15, so.
Oh.
I was there.
But I don't remember him being in that game.
Yeah.
I got to think. I don't know when his I don't know. I got to check Deshaun Watson's years. But
all right, let's get to the preliminary score of Florida Miami's 62 million to 25 million. 62 million is Mario Cristobal's buyout. 25 million for Billy Napier. And get this, Squid. If Florida doesn't win 7 games this year, this can be the first time since the 40s where they've gone 3 consecutive years without winning at least 7 games. Who's under more pressure, Cristobal or Napier?
Cristobal.
Cristobal by a
mile. Cristobal.
I think so, too.
Because he was the golden goose down there right. for years. I know a Miami fan that's in the radio business very well, and he's been clamoring for Cristobal for years. So he was the golden goose, and I think he's an alum from there. The Napier thing, I was reading an interesting article the other day about Napier, and it was basically that, hey, you know what? Billy Napier might have a fourth year no matter what down here because there's a lot of people involved in the program that don't feel like buying out another coach after, you know, this early into the tenure is the right thing to do. A lot of people in the program realized how far off the beaten path they had gotten, whether it was facilities or just with the recruiting issue, and not to mention they're going to spend a crap ton of money buying out not just coaches but the GM, the NIL stuff, like all of these
players?
Recruiting people, players as well. Well, I think players might be a little. They don't. Do players have buyouts?
I think they will
contracts?
Eventually. I don't know if they do right now. I think they will eventually.
Well, that cartel money will take care of Mario Cristobal. $62 million. That's car ashtray money for them.
Who do you like in this game, though?
I like Florida.
I sneakily like Florida too because I just don't.
This is before the rigors of the schedule, opening game in the swamp.
Yeah, they've played well under Billy. I know they lost last year to Utah to start the season, but you go back to year one, they beat Utah at home in a close game.
Right.
They've played well under Billy early in the season. They do tend to fold late in the season. You're right. I think Deshaun's first year was 14.
Is that a 330? Florida?
Yeah, it's the 3:30, and then you have the Texas A&M Notre Dame game in primetime, which is one of the reasons why Georgia Clemson neutral site is at noon.
I just want to congratulate you on your personal growth. You actually said you're right, so that's just not something I hear very often on here.
Well, it's
or I was.
Well, I'll tell you
like
this:
like Fozzie trying to say he's wrong.
If you would be right more often, I could tell you you're right more often.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart, lasting clean. Well, the Braves pulled out the brooms in Minneapolis. Now, this could be a season-defining series starting tonight in Philadelphia. As they're up there for the first of 4 games. We'll get into that. And also, we'll go in the huddle. All that and more next on The Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 9-9 game.
Good morning.
Yeah!
Back to more of The Morning Shift
with Tiffany, Mike, and Bo on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to The Morning Shift. Triple in for Tiffany. I'll be back tomorrow as well for my favorite day of the week, which is Fair Foul Friday.
Yay.
Right. Yes. Real weird start time tonight for the Braves in Philadelphia. 6:40 first pitch, Charlie Morton on the mound for the Braves as they come off a sweep of the Twins. Braves now just 5 games back in the division. They are 4 games up on the Mets for the final wild card and just 2 behind San Diego. Russell Wilson, named the starter for the Steelers. Taylor Heinicke, traded to the Los Angeles Chargers for a conditional 6th-round pick. And now let's go in the huddle.
It's time to huddle up.
Bring it in close! Bring it in close!
The latest NFL news, rumors, reports, and happenings.
Within the huddle on The Morning Shift.
All right, Falcons have populated their practice squad with 13 players as it currently stands, gentlemen. Are they going to bring in another quarterback? That's the question. Will another quarterback be brought in?
Well, I think can we take it a step further? We know another quarterback be brought in, right? Do you want a third guy to take reps? Will the quarterback be on the active roster or the practice squad? Because with the trade of Heinicke, you've opened up an active roster spot.
Is that a week-by-week thing, though, depending on the needs of the team, since you can do that? I might want an extra.
I still don't understand the cap. Maybe you can open that up a little bit, Bo. I still don't understand the caveats around the new rules and the adjustments to the
rules. Are you talking about the emergency quarterback?
Right. Yeah, the emergency
quarterback. So the emergency quarterback.
Well, that's the 49th guy that can dress.
Well, not if he's on your practice squad. If he's on your practice squad, then he is an act. Then he has to be one of the 48 that you have.
Yeah, that's right.
But so that and they had went away from that rule, but the NFLPA came back and they voted against it and said, look, you're not going to stash players that should be on your active roster and not pay them an active roster salary and get away with it and have them active every week essentially without being active. And I understand that. I think it is a positive for players as a whole and a detriment for players on teams that are good that maybe could, you know, use it, take advantage of that situation as far as winning if they needed that position. But so basically, yeah, it would be a week by week thing if you thought, like, let's say Kirk Cousins was banged up. Let's just say he was banged up, right? And he's nursing we don't want to say an ankle, anything, right? So nursing a shoulder
bruised
injury.
Ribs.
Yeah, bruised ribs. Then you would bring up that third, if he was on your guy was on your practice squad, you would bring him up to the active roster that day, and you would just play with three quarterbacks on the active, fit a 48, and you would lose a spot somewhere. So you might go with a one less offensive lineman or something.
Yeah.
So that's why you would just keep him on the, because you get an extra spot on that roster, and that's what it's about, is having as many spots as you can use in a week-to-week basis that can help you win games.
This rule was very similar when I was playing, because I do remember we did have a Harry Douglas package where Harry was the quarterback and, you know.
Yeah, normally, guys, you'll have a wideout or running back as your emergency quarterback.
Yeah, our first couple of years, we had John Parker Wilson was our third string, good buddy of mine from Alabama, and he would, you know, be P-squad or bounce back and forth and be, you know, inactive and, or active and dressed and things like that, but then all of a sudden it was just Harry Douglas, and we just rolled with two. So it's kind of interesting to see how that whole ordeal has come about.
All right, gentlemen, since CeeDee Lamb got paid, does that mean it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that Dak's going to finally get paid?
No.
No.
Not even, I think it might think be the opposite. Sorry, I didn't pinch poke you, give me a coke. I think Micah Parsons gets paid, and they go somewhere else for the quarterback. I don't think Dak's getting his money, and I think
he would have gotten it by now if they really wanted to.
You don't. Whenever it's kind of like the rule with it's kind of like Freddie Freeman, Dansby Swanson, yeah. Max Fried. You know they're not gonna. You know Max Fried won't be here for the Braves next year because you if you were gonna do that deal, you'd have come to some kind of agreement already because the price is only going up, especially right. When he hits the open market. Dak's going to get reset because there are plenty of quarterback teams, needy teams out there. And I don't know. There could be a number
Dak's
of places.
I think Dak's a top 10, top 12 quarterback.
Hell yes, Dak's a top 10 quarterback. If you don't think Dak's a top 10 quarterback, you're ignorant. Because I'm not going to call you anything else. I'm not calling you a bad word, but you're it's just ignorance of you don't know what one looks like then. That's the only thing I can say. He has been phenomenally good for most of his – all of his career that he's played. And they don't grow on trees.
Yeah. I mean, like you just pointed out, Micah Parsons is still out there. There's the Cowboys, for all the flack that Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones catch, have been as good or better than anybody in the last 10 years of drafting and developing their own talent.
Yep.
Drafting, developing their own talent. So with that comes a lot of guys that need to get extensions and need to get paid. If they don't think Dak Prescott, if they think he's good, but they don't think he's clutch and don't think he won a Super Bowl, and maybe they can build around that quarterback spot by going to get a rookie, then that's the path they'll choose.
You know what's funny is Dallas fell into an upgrade at quarterback from Tony Romo to Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
And I bet if you went around the league.
What was Dak, a fourth rounder?
Yeah. And he only played because.
You remember Tony Romo's undrafted.
Yeah. And to Mike's point, another example of how Jerry Jones has done a good job and Stephen Jones and that organization as a whole have done a good job drafting. We're seeing it. It's happening now at the quarterback, a skill position, and an edge, which are three of the more important positions, honestly, and go along with a tackle. And it kind of like, what was it like for a few years ago, maybe 8 years ago, they were having to sign Zach Martin and Tyron Smith and all these Tyron offensive Smith. Tackles that they
oh
had. What was the center's name?
I can't even remember. But, dude, let me just tell you something right now. Tyron Smith, as a left tackle, was a creative player. Like, that was exactly what a left tackle was supposed to look like.
Out of a lab.
Oh, my God. He had trouble staying healthy, and he's not there anymore. Goodness, though, man. He used to be, as an offensive lineman, a pleasure to watch that guy when he was young and healthy. Boy, he was elite.
Well, you bring up elite tackles. Trent Williams still hasn't gotten paid. I think the sticking point has to be his age.
Right? Oh, he's my age. Yeah. He's 37. Yeah. I mean, goodness, he is. Speaking of guys doing it at an elite level, he's younger. I mean, he's older than Tyron Smith, and Tyron Smith was in Dallas for 10 years and is no longer there. And yet, you look at a guy like Trent Williams, the best of the best, probably a future Hall of Famer, and still playing at a very high level. But how much money do you want to give him?
Let me ask you this: as an older O lineman, you don't have to rely on the fast twitch like you do as an athlete. So as you get older, of course, that's going to go away. You'll lose a step. But doesn't the old man strength start to come into play now, and you can kind of win from the shoulders up? Because you still have,
I think you still
have to be able to move your feet. Clearly,
well, I think you. That's not really a question I can answer personally, but I think it does.
How
Tom McClure was that guy?
Yeah,
I mean, he raises bulls back home in Louisiana, and he'd be like, "Yeah, been on the ranch all week." I'm like, "Yeah, you golly, look at you, dude." Yeah,
but just what advantage does he have from a mental aspect of just knowing and seeing it? I mean, you got to think that plays into it as well, right?
Well, he's also extremely tough. And everybody at that age has had their injury woes. But when you look at the way he is a bully, the way he plays football. I mean, an absolute bully. He does not mind throwing you to the ground and landing on top of you and never even thinking twice about it. So that mental aspect, that's something he's carried throughout his career. He's always been that way going back to his days at Oklahoma. Just an absolute bully. Him and Russell Okung were two of the top tackles in that draft, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Trent Williams just continues to do it at a high level. But look, man, if you got the best running back in the league and you got one of the best wide receivers in Ayuk and one of the best tight ends and one of the best left tackles and one of the best middle linebackers and one of the best
– and one of the best –
somebody can't – not all of them can get paid as the best at their position.
And you didn't even mention Debo.
Yeah, because I don't even know where to list the guy. He's like an outside zone wide receiver.
I think Ayuk's a good receiver. I just don't think it makes sense. That's why you drafted a wide receiver in the first round. And I think Trent's to me, I need Trent more than I need Ayuk.
I agree with that.
And I think in Shanahan's offense, he's good enough. If Brock Purdy can drop back and be comfortable in the pocket and go through his progressions and basically run the offense, I'm not Cam Newton him right here, but what I'm saying is if he can run the offense the way it is set up to go, that offense will run. Trent Williams, to me, is a huge part of that. And don't forget, did you mention one of the best edge rushers in the league?
I said best defensive lineman, yeah. But
Yeah. I mean, so I agree with – I mean, I'm agreeing with you.
What'd you call Kittle the other day? Greg? You call him Greg Kittle?
Yeah, Greg Kittle.
George Kittle is
– I don't know why I call him Greg.
For my money, best tight end in the NFL.
Because he blocks.
I'm a big
Terry Kelce guy.
Yeah.
I like Donald Pitts myself. Listen,
Travis Kelce, love him to death. He's just a tall, heavy wide receiver. Let's just be honest. I mean, that's what he
is. He's no Gronk.
Well, the thing that makes Kelce brilliant is
he improvises.
Yes.
He and Russell's chemistry, the way he can improvise.
His ability.
Speaking of weird first names, you just said Russell. So
Is that what we're gonna do? Are we just gonna misname everyone the rest of the show?
Russell Mahomes.
Terry Kelce.
We should talk about Michael Sell's performance last night. Dominant.
Well, we can do that. What's coming up and mic'd up?
I did a man so dirty this morning gas station over breakfast that I don't think I'll ever be able to live it down. If he's out there listening, dude, I am so sorry. Your apology is coming up next, man. I promise. One of the most shameful things I've ever done.
Dylond Up is next.
Yeah.
The Morning Shift Sports Radio 99 a game.
92.9 The Game.
Hit today. Spencer Arrighetti took a no-hitter into the ninth. Excuse me, eighth. That is deep out to left center field. It keeps going, and it is gone. Into the bullpen. Off the bat of Jorge Soler. Atlanta with the early lead.
Well, he can hit the ball. Why can't he catch it? Jorge Soler with the...
Golly. Keep the good, man. You know what? No, man. Keep the good vibes going. I ain't going to let you do that.
He got such a terrible jump on that ball right field. He can't track it in right field.
Looks like he's moving in slow motion.
Yep.
Well, the same thing goes.
He's like a step slow, his recognition. It's not lack of effort. He's not tracking it.
Who was it that hit the ball that me and you were talking about, Manuel Margot?
Yeah,
should have had in left field. It was kind of, he jumped and it kind of hit in his glove. And
Luke Williams
hit the ball. It kind of goes in his glove and goes out. Now, granted, it's a tough catch, but you look at it and go, eh, major league outfielder, probably nine times out of ten should get that.
Catch, but
especially
that
when
like
it's in the webbing, you know?
I mean, that ball off of Luke Williams' bat, that big double in, what was that, the seventh inning when the Braves broke the tie?
It was
like a two-iron slash slider. it's going to move in a certain way because he hit it so hard.
Yeah, it just kept coming in, it felt like, on him. And he just got his hands around. That was a weird inning to me because Sell gives up the run, right? And in the bottom of the sixth, and he's technically still the pitcher of record. And Ozuna is on first, and Olson hits that gapper, and Ozuna starts running, and you see him look, and you see his cheeks fill up, and he blows out a gust of air. And then takes this big breath, and he just starts chugging. He looked like a locomotive.
Yeah, but
coming
the run
down
was called
tracks.
Back, though. There's a flag thrown for delay of game watching him run around the bases.
Dude, you know what it looks like when I watch Ozuna? And granted, I am not fleet of foot. I was not built for speed. I watch Ozuna run the bases, and I swear it looks like he's doing a drill in beach sand, you know, like watching Rocky, where his legs feel like they're moving faster than he's actually going. You know what I mean? Like, I'm watching him going, God, it looks like he's just supposed to be going faster than he is, yet he's not moving very far with each stride.
But the funny thing was, is I don't know if you guys caught this, they pan over to the bullpen. I mean, not the bullpen, but the dugout. And after they got done with all of the Travis Darnot fanning him off because –
He was making fun of Travis for circling the bases on prior night.
Yeah, so. But when they got through all of that nonsense, you know, fun stuff, nonsense, whatever you want to call it, and then he walks by Chris Sale, and Chris Sale stands up and gives
him
some
dap, a hug, man. Yeah,
and he's
man.
Like, hey, yeah, I know what you just did. And that's the thing.
You helped me get a W.
Well, that's the thing that we don't talk about enough is those are two leaders in that clubhouse that you don't talk about enough. And Chris Sale leads by example, by the way he competes, and guys feed off that. And I'm not saying Ozuna wouldn't have ran that hard for anybody else. That's not what I'm saying.
Yep.
But it's a hell of a lot easier to run through a wall like for a guy like Chris Sale than it is some other people, you know?
Well, let's hear from Snit on his ace left-hander.
It was good to see how Chris finished his outing, get him those runs so he gets that win, man. That's really good because he pitched his rear off. It's kind of to me why that guy's a front runner for the Cy Young, because that's not the first time he's done that. I've seen when we won a game 1-0 in San Francisco and he had first and third and nobody out in the first inning and they didn't score. He's unbelievable when he gets his back to the wall like that, how he reaches back and can find a way to get out of it. I mean, that's why he's got 15 wins.
Well, he also survived that bases loaded one out in the fourth inning as well.
Yeah, the only sad part about watching him last night is understanding that he won't be part of the Phillies series because you wish you had him to kind of square up with those guys.
We got Jekyll Hyde, Charlie Morton tonight.
Yeah, and
but you're going to get him no matter what. Would you? I mentioned this yesterday, Rob. I want to get your take real quick before we get mic'd up. Would you have pushed Sale back? Would you have brought up Ian Anderson for one game against the Twins in a series you've already won? Now, look, every game is important right now. I understand that. But would you have pushed him back a start just to get him, A, an extra day of rest, and B, in the Phillies series?
Maybe. But you've got to have the Phillies number this year, though, big time.
Yeah.
You're 6-3 against them. Your ERA's in the twos, so.
And you got the game anyway. You got a game on them anyway, so it proved the importance of that game after what happened to them against the Astros yesterday.
Yeah, you don't ever want to screw anybody like that like I did this fellow this morning.
It's time to rant.
Excuse me?
It's time to rage.
It's time for Mic'd Up.
On the Morning Shift.
Brought to you by the Lexus Golden Opportunity Sales Event.
My friend, if you were at the gas station this morning up on Roswell Road, I am so sorry.
Oh, no.
For the encounter we had this morning. You probably don't even realize what happened. You're probably asleep right now, my friend, because of what you were going through. So follow me here as we go through my morning. Because as soon as this happened, and I got back in my truck and I started to head to work, and we're talking about 4:30 a.m. this morning, I was like, man, I have such a heavy conscience, such a guilt on what is happening. All right, so I wake up this morning, got a leftover biscuit in the fridge. I'm like, man, that thing is on target. We talked about high school breakfast this morning, Rob. Grab what you want to on the way out the door and eat it on the way to work. All right, so that was my plan. All right, I needed to stop and get some coffee, as I do every morning, at the local gas station up on the corner. I like to get it. It wakes me up to walk in there every morning and get a cup of coffee. So as I'm headed to the local gas station, take a bite of my biscuit, extremely cold, to the point where it was like almost just one step below freezing. All right.
A hockey puck.
So I walk in. I'm like, you know what? Man, I'm going to take the biscuit in here, and I'm going to use one of these gas station microwaves. I got a couple of microwaves that sit on the counter. I was like, I'm going to warm my biscuit up, which I never do. Right? It's not something that I ever, you know, ever go about. So I'm like, I'm going to warm my breakfast up here in this microwave. Well, I walk in. I open the first microwave, and there's a cup of ramen in it. And I was like, oh, somebody left the ramen in here, right? So then I close that one, and I go on to the second microwave, and I open it up, right? I'm throwing my biscuit in there. I'm like, let me get this thing, you know, kind of heated up as I go about my morning. I throw it on, like, you know, 20 seconds. I'm like, whatever. I'm just going to let this thing hum for a minute. Oh, yeah, I forgot my water bottle, right? You guys see me hit my water bottle right here on the countertop. All right, so I was like, oh, man, let me jog over there and get it. As I'm jogging to get the water bottle, this young man comes out of the bathroom in the back.
Oh, no.
All right? Now, he has an odor that we would all pick up. All right? We would all pick up on. He has this odor coming off
of him. Not one of those people.
I think he had shades on, right, you know, at this point. And I think he also was about to buy some Black and Milds behind the counter. That's a story for another day. But he was obviously quite excited about his ramen, right? So as I'm getting my water bottle, here's what I hear.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Something ain't right.
So this man's looking at his cup of ramen in this other microwave. And he's like, man, somebody hit the pause button.
Hold up.
I'm a microwave.
Wait a minute.
Aww.
Right? So I walk past him. I'm like, hey, excuse me, man, to get to my to get to my biscuit in the other microwave, and he's just staring at me like, man, what happened? I don't know what's going on here. I'm just walking about my business. I'm like,
man, you screwed his whole morning up.
I go up to the counter. I can still feel him looking at me, man. He's like stirring heavily, stirring. Dude, he's heavily stirring. He is quite clearly in another zip code mentally right now because he is like, dude, I was so excited about this ramen. I'm paying for my water bottle. I got my warm biscuit. And my cup of coffee, man, and I'm about to walk out a happy man. And I look back at this guy with the utter state of depression across his face.
Wait a minute.
Over the fact that he went up to this gas station, had to obviously, go to the restroom for just a minute, but left this ramen, just thought it was going to cook. And at one point on my way out, I noticed that there was still a minute 20 left on the microwave that I accidentally opened and closed.
Did you not know it was running?
No, I didn't know it was running.
How do you not know a microwave's running?
There's loud
running.
Music playing in this gas. I can't even explain.
The light wasn't on the microwave?
It was on the counter.
You haven't had your coffee yet.
Yeah, had him a coffee yet.
Oh,
I'm barely awake.
Man.
This dude.
You're in the wrong.
If you're out there, man. If you're out there, I just want to open up a sincere pathway of apologies. Like I said, you might have went home and gone to sleep, but I can only imagine the frame of mind you're in a gas station. You're trying to get ramen. You got your shades on. You're also buying a Black and Mild, and you were probably so excited at 4:30 a.m. to get that ramen down the hatch. And yet, I threw a curveball in your morning, man.
That's the one thing he wanted on this planet at that particular moment.
He did, man.
That's a weird combo, that part of the night, ramen at 4:30.
Yeah, it really is.
But I'm starting to think that his odor was maybe he went puff, puff, pass in the bathroom. And then that's why the ramen makes sense.
I tried to allude to that. Obviously, maybe didn't get there. You thought the odor was something else.
Yeah, I thought he just stunk. I can't see.
He
had a fog coming off of him, coming out of the bathroom.
I thought he hadn't heard a right guard yet. You know, that's what I was thinking.
He had a certain cloud around him. Get those Black and Milds. He was like, I'm going for round two.
Well, that's when it hit me. He said shades, Black and Milds. I was like, oh, my man went toke-toke in there. That's what happened.
That's what I do. And he was like, ramen, yes. Oh, no. What happened? Oh, man. I'm so sorry, dude.
Well, Zero Res could get that smell out of that bathroom. Smart, lasting, clean. That's what this hour is brought to you by. Zero Res, again, a smart, lasting, clean. 404-726-0929. Who deserves a wake-up call? Who deserves one? Oh, by the way, Russell Wilson, named starter of the Steelers, Taylor Heineke, now a member of the Los Angeles Chargers.
What do you think about those moves?
Wake up call is next. Morning Shift Sports Radio, 929 The Game.
Don't touch that dial.
This is The Morning Shift.
All of them are really, really hot
on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Welcome back to The Morning Shift Sports Radio, 929 The Game. Braves fresh off a sweep in Minnesota. Four game series starting tonight. 6:40 first pitch, Charlie Morton on the mound. Braves five games back. Four up on the Mets for the final wild card spot, and they're nipping at the heels of San Diego, just two back of them for the second slot. College football tonight, Colorado State hosting North Dakota State, 8 o'clock, upset alert, possibly.
Yeah. Hey, we have, one of the things we have not got a chance to talk about today, and I want to get this real quick before we get to the phone lines for the wake-up call. You guys seen the news coming out about Tom Brady and the vote from the NFL owners that he won't be able to go to practices if he becomes part owner.
Or production meetings.
Or production meetings. If he becomes part owner of the Raiders, which he's been trying to do. And they basically put their foot down. I thought they would make an exception for
it. I don't have a problem with that.
And they're like, you know what? No, man. If you want to be part owner, you're going to play the game just like we do. You're not coming into practices and production meetings.
Well, and to be fair, it's opposing teams' practices, and he's not. I just want to be honest, he can go to the Raiders' practice if he is an owner. But the production meetings thing, I think, is that's the part that really sits with me as you know, we're all in this business, and that's where you kind of get to know the players. You get a feel for what they're doing and like how they're going to be used. Those production meetings are the Saturday at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon when they play Sunday at 1, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot of turnaround, but you gain an immense amount of knowledge from that as a broadcaster, and to knowing packages or how healthy somebody is, how much they might play, all of that, how they might be used, all of that stuff, that'll hamper him as a broadcaster personally, I think. But I agree with y'all. I'm 100% fine with it because Tom Brady is the more he talks, the more he's out of football, the more he's like, I want my cake and eat it too.
Yep.
You know, I want to be considered the GOAT. I want to go do this. I want people to play me. I want to talk. But I wanted all these rules for me as a player to protect me so I could succeed. And then I'm going to crap on said rules when I get out of the league to kind of harp on others.
I just wonder what the end game is. Like, he's going to have to probably step back for one. Either that or Fox will kind of, do it for him. He's either going to have to say, okay, I don't want to be an owner, or okay, I don't want to be a broadcaster. And I don't know which one's more lucrative in the end, but it just seems like to me that – and maybe Fox just says, hey, no, you're not going to be an owner and work here. But he'll have to make a decision at some point over which one of these he wants to pursue. I'm not sure broadcasting in the end won't take a back seat to being part NFL owner, honestly.
Couldn't you broadcast for 10 years, make the ridiculous salary he's going to make?
$30 million a year.
On top of what he already made.
Yeah, because Giselle's not getting any of his money because he put all of his assets in his mother's name to Tom Brady.
I don't believe it.
Couldn't he do that and then say in 10 years, now I want to be an owner of the Raiders?
Okay, but here's the problem. What's that NFL franchise going to be worth in 10 years? That's the other question. I mean, they've gone up billions in the last 10 years.
What if he bought the ownership stake in his mom's name, like Rob just said, and then he financially and in every way he had to stay away, but he still had basically that stock, and then she could just sell it to him for like a dollar? Would that be legal?
No.
Because I know,
be like, where did Miss Brady get all this money?
I know of small ownerships that small businesses that have put, I'm not going to out who, but I know of small businesses that have been couples where the owner was the husband. He gets married, then he signs 51% over to the wife, so you get the tax break of being,
Giselle had her own female money. She has more money than
no,
Tom
I know
has.
With Giselle, but like
that's why I don't necessarily believe that. Why would Tom do that when she's richer than he is? You know what I mean?
Just vindictive. Just come after the loot. I don't know. Russell Wilson name started. Was his soundbite corny? Did he say something like Steeler Nation, let's weld or something like that? What did he do? Anything? I just saw him talking up there. I mean, if he did something corny.
It wasn't that.
Let's weld.
It wasn't that. It wasn't that at all.
Oh, my God.
It was just,
good.
But it was typical Russell Wilson. He didn't go on Mr. Unlimited or anything.
Oh, boy.
But he just talked about, I've learned so much from being around a great coach like Mike Tomlin and, blah, blah, blah. And, just a normal Russell Wilson speech.
Tell you this much, the Mercedes-Benz DJ is going to have a field day when he comes out on the field in a couple weeks. I'm just going to throw that out there.
In what way? What do you think?
Well, I think we all know who's going to be playing, which artist is going to be on the now that he's officially the starter and he's coming out, it just seems like every break in the action is going to be, a chance to poke at him a little bit.
404-726-0929, who deserves a wake-up call? Let's go out to Tinker, Taylor, Soldier, Spy, and Kennesaw. Good morning, Tinker.
How are you?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
What's going on?
Hey, man, living the dream.
Get on with it. I'm out there real quick with the Squid Nation.
That's right, Tink. How you doing, my friend?
Doing good. Hey, come on, Rob. We've had beers together, man. You know me.
I understand. I'm with you.
My wake-up call is really homeowners, anybody that thinks they're associated with a property. But when you got a serviceman that comes on out and he's doing his job, leave him alone for a little bit. You can look, but don't ask 110 questions right off the rip. When he's done, he'll let you know what's happened. Because on Monday, association member or whatever felt the need to come up there and bug me to death with a little smart lip and attitude he had. And then he had 110 questions. And I'm going to tell you right now, that was not the time to have class. I'm not a teacher. I'm a repairman. That boy about got chunked off the roof. But y'all have a good one.
Appreciate you, Tinker.
Man, those homeowners, you give people a little bit of power. You don't have to hover, man.
You don't have to hover.
Clearly, he was a member of the mafia that Tinker was having to deal with, one another, and being, you know, pestering him, pestering the work. A non-working man up there pestering a working man, like a member of Squid Nation.
And I don't even hate HOAs. I'm a fan of HOAs, to be honest with you. But, I mean, come on, you don't have to hover. I don't ever hover over service.
You know where HOAs come in handy? I was at the driving range.
When your neighbor wants to put their RV in the front yard?
Well, okay. Close. We turned the driving range last night into hang out. Like I go up there to hit some balls and kind of get some work in. Next thing I know, there's like six of us, and we're having beers on the driving range. And we were talking to one of our other buddies that doesn't actually live. He's a member of our club, doesn't live in the neighborhood. Apparently, the house like next to him burned down. And now it's just like a charred house sitting next to him in the lot. And it could be that way for quite a while.
5 years.
Yeah, that's when an HOA comes in handy. You know, when you have the HOA member that takes a daily walk that wants to see if you have, a weed or two in your pine straw bed.
Yeah, the hall monitor types.
That's the person that deserves to maybe get, you know, I don't know. Maybe something burned in their grass or something.
All right, let's go up to the home of the Red Elephants. That'd be Gainesville. Let's hear from Hurricane Otis. Good morning, Hurricane Otis.
What up, Otis? Morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Can't complain.
My man.
All right, I'm a proud member of the nation, and I've been listening to Freaky the last couple of weekends, and Freaky got it figured out. All we got to do is win. Beat Carolina twice, New Orleans twice, and Tampa twice. Them the only games we got to win. We'd be the NFC champs. We'd have a home playoff game. We wouldn't have to worry about the rest of the schedule. That's my wake-up call.
Well, here's the problem. That's the only games you win. The Raheem Morris is going to be on the hot seat.
I was a nobody before I joined the Nation.
This team's way too talented to go 6-11.
Yeah, that's six wins. That's about to say.
I think there was some sarcasm. I'm thrown in there about having, you know, with the figured it out and all they got to do is win the division games because I hate to break it to Fricky, but if the Tampa Bay only loses two games and it's to Atlanta and they win the rest of them, it doesn't matter that you won, that you beat them head to head because they're going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think that was some sarcasm because it's Squid Nation. We know divisional math better than that.
All right, let's go out to Powder Springs and Matt. Good morning, Matt. What you got?
Hey, good morning.
What's up?
Hey, I'm just trying to figure out why you guys so hard on Russell Wilson. I mean, what has Russell Wilson done for the media to be so hard on this guy? This guy been to two Super Bowls. Yeah. I know he's not, you know, like he used to be, but I can't understand what's wrong with good character. I just don't.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he has good character. I think that's part of the stigma that comes with Russell Wilson.
Maybe a bit of a phony.
Is when
ask seven of his teammates about it.
When a guy refuses, and here's I'm just going to say what is out there and it's common knowledge. When you have to go through a third party to get in touch with your quarterback when you're the star defensive back, like Richard Sherman did, does that mean that the quarterback's a good guy and a character guy? When you demand to be treated differently than the rest of your teammates in a locker room, does that make you a good guy? Now, I don't know Russell Wilson personally at all, but Russell Wilson carries himself like a good dude.
Unlimited. Yeah.
But then he does stuff like that. And then he does stuff with the locker room issues. So the media mainly reports on the guy they see and then the guy that they hear about, and it's two different people from coaches and teammates. That said, Sean Payton treated Russell Wilson wrong because Sean Payton's a, you know, he's a dirt.
I didn't smear him and dye his hair. I just said he's corny. Steeler Nation, let's weld.
That's well, I just think it's obtuse to call a person a great dude when there is conflicting reports.
Good character.
I don't know if he's a good character or not. Neither do you. Because there's plenty of good character, bad character things said about him from his teammates that know him the best.
It's all he said, she said. I don't have a problem with Russell Wilson, but the fact of the matter is, I don't think he'll flourish inside of inside of that offense. And that's really where the you know, Russell Wilson right now for the next, you know, whatever was it, 10 days, he's the enemy, right? Point blank. And so is Arthur Smith. No matter what you thought of him, I thought Arthur Smith's a high character dude, in my opinion.
Seattle.
Now there's conflicting reports about that as well, but. I don't know. I don't need to hear about it.
Yeah,
it's all good.
I hope Russell Wilson runs into about 6 or 7 sacks, you know, like he had a tendency to do the last 4 or 5 years
Mr.
of his career.
Unlimited. Yeah.
Well, at the end of the season, perhaps Russell Wilson will have to call Mark Spain because you get a guaranteed offer on your home today. Start packing. Go to markspain.com. We got Rusty Manziel coming up next. The man of a million stories.
The Rusty Manziel.
The Rusty Manziel. Coming up next in the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 929 The Game.
Get your day started.
Go ahead.
With the Morning Shift.
Time for the show.
On Sports Radio, 929 The Game.
We got Jekyll and Hyde, Charlie Morton on the mound tonight. 640 first pitch, Braves first of four against the Phillies. Coming off that sweep of the Twins, they try to carve into that lead and distance themselves further from the Mets in the wild card. But we got to talk to Rusty Manziel. Good morning, Rusty.
Good morning.
What is first and foremost on your mind right now coming into this week one of college football?
Well, first and foremost is this cup of coffee. Am I either going to drink it or just pour it right in my eyes? So,
or just mainline IV.
Rusty, yes, you got to stop going downtown in Rome and burning that midnight oil.
Clubbing in Rome.
Man, I wish I could go to Rome. I've been in Atlanta 4 days in a row, and coming from Rome, that's a quick little trip. But I'm excited. College football is here tonight. Just looking at the schedule for tonight, and obviously you look at this Colorado matchup with North Dakota State and kind of researching that, and we're all familiar with that team and the Bison and probably the best FCS team over the last 7 or 8 years, and nobody wants to play them. The last time they played a team – was in the group in the Power Five was Arizona, and they beat them. So, you know, you look tonight, a new coach, but they got a 4-year start. I got a 4-year senior, a 2-year starter, and Cam Miller coming back at quarterback. You know, they're going to be, you know, tough, gritty up front. And, you know, this is a team that Colorado should beat for all the offseason, you know, buzz and opinions of Deion. You look at this game, I think they're a 9.5-point favorite this morning. It's going to be at home, it's going to be in prime time, and literally. So, you know, that game interests me, but I will say a sneaky good game tonight, and Mike, and you guys may have an opinion on this. Man, I love North Carolina and Minnesota to get this thing kicked off too tonight. Two teams that always have a good product, you know, it'll be a good game. And I'll give you a little tidbit on this game tonight. Young man named Max Brosmer is a quarterback from Centennial High School. I went over there in 2019 to see a freshman by the name of Daniel Calhoun, who's now at Georgia. Daniel Calhoun was 6'5", 340 pounds as a freshman. But I see this quarterback, they weren't very good at the time. I was like, hey, that kid could spin a little bit. Didn't think much about him. He goes to New Hampshire, has a really good career there. He transfers. He goes to Minnesota. He takes a chance at it. He wins the job. So we got a young man from Atlanta that's going to make his first start tonight for Minnesota.
Attaboy, Rusty. Row the boat.
So hormones in the chicken. That's why those kids are so big.
Row that boat, baby. Row it.
All right, I'll ask my Georgia question so I can ask my Florida question later, Rusty. But it's actually about Clemson. Has Clemson improved their trenches enough to compete with Georgia?
We're going to find out. Now, defensively, they're there. I mean, their front seven's there. That's the elite part of them. I think Dabo Swinney made a lot of progress by hiring Matt Luke. I think you heard Kirby Smart talk about that this week, where he said, look, I know Matt Luke, and I know what he's going to bring to the table. They're going to be a much more physical team up front. Now, do they have the Jimmies and Joes there? I think Cade Kublik was sacked 28 times last year. You got to think, if you're Georgia, you're going to come after them. You're going to pressure them. Do they have the playmakers on the outside? So I think defensively, Clemson still got those dudes. I love Peter Woods. Mike's probably familiar with him, former five-star out of Thompson High School in Alabama. you look at him and he's that guy. Barrett Carter, five-star, one of the top linebackers in America, kid out of North Gwinnett, one of the best kids I've ever covered on or off the field, period. He's going to be an NFL first-rounder. He's going to be set in the middle there. So they got dudes on defense. It's what can they do offensively up front to kind of offset Georgia, because this is not the best Georgia defensive front ever, but as a group, they still got very talented guys. So we'll see how Georgia attacks them. But to me, the question is, can Clemson's offensive line protect long enough for them to try to score some points against Georgia on Saturday?
Well, let's talk about that talent for a minute, Rusty, because, you know, a lot's been made about, obviously, Georgia's an extremely talented team, program, whatever you want to call it, recruited at a high level. But, you know, Ohio State has spent $20 million this offseason to kind of revamp their roster, and they're extremely talented, too. Which one, Ohio State or Georgia at this point, do you think has the more talented roster?
Whew. You know, if I'm just walking into a casino and I have to put money on, like, 1 through 85, it would be hard not to say Ohio State 1 through 85 because of the additions. When you bring in Caleb Downs, who's going to be a top 10 NFL pick, you know, you get – I don't even – I would love to know what they paid Travion Henderson to come back. And I'm not just, you know, ragging on them. I think it's great you got him to come back, but that might have been the first – that might have been the number one running back drafted last year. You get Emeka Ebuka to come back, he was going to be a first-rounder. They didn't get fringe guys to come back. They got first-rounders to come back. I think that's the difference in Ohio State, some of the additions. Listen, they got every box checked, in my opinion, at Ohio State. The biggest question, and it's a big one now, is how is Will Howard going to play? Their schedule is not great. I mean, Georgia didn't have the best schedule last year at all. Ohio State, man, they play Oregon, and then they've got this thing. It's in their favor until they play Michigan, and we'll see what Michigan has. But the biggest question for me is Will Howard. What is he going to do, and can he be a difference maker? Because he's going to have all the pieces around him. When you get into a phone booth with a team that's just as good as you, can he be the guy that's the difference maker?
You know, I feel like I'm living in a parallel universe fever dream. I just heard, you know, Ohio State spent $20 million to revamp their roster, and we're talking about college football.
Hey,
it's absurd.
These guys from SMU in the mid-'80s are like, what the hell's going on, man? We were 40 years ahead of this.
That's right. We were ahead of the curve. We were innovators.
We got in trouble.
I'm calling Florida-Miami the buyout bowl between those two coaches. I think Florida gets a win. What do you think?
I think this is an absolute – I know Bo knows this. I think Bo would agree. This is an absolute must-win for me, for Florida, because what's coming down the line, you got them at home. You got a lot of momentum. Place is going to be rocking and rolling. It's early in the season. You got a returning quarterback. You've had an offseason. Listen, I've said this in many interviews privately, that this staff down there thinks this team is really good. They think this team can really – be something. Now, everybody understands what they got to deal with toward the end. But to me, this is a game that I think that Florida, if Billy Napier wins this, it's going to really give them some momentum going into this season. If he loses this game Saturday, man, you know the direction it's going to go. You know what the message boards are going to say. You know how it's going to start the season. And he's not going to get fired, win or loss, off this game. But, man, if Florida wins this game right here, this is a really good start for Billy Napier and what they face down the line.
No, Miami's back. They're back.
They're back
every
year. They've been
back the last 10 years in August. That's the problem.
Yeah, and they've got their golden boy in the Mario Cristobal down there, the guy that they most of them coveted for years. The Fighting Mike Contis are going to Morgantown. I think this is a sneaky, not only good game, Rusty, but this is an important game for James Franklin, because many people believe the 12-team college football playoff was built for coaches like James Franklin that can't beat Ohio State's and Michigan's of the world, but beat everyone else. What's the key for Penn State going in there and beating West Virginia?
Well, the first side of worrisome this morning was they canceled classes tomorrow. Pat McAfee's doing a show on campus. Now, you think that place isn't going to be hydrated and waiting on that game to kick off? In Morgantown, they're going to start Friday morning. They canceled classes tomorrow. So Yeah, man, I think that's a very dangerous game if you're Penn State. But, you know, people that I just do the reading on them. I'm not trying to be the expert. You know, talk to Mike a little bit as well. But, you know, probably they're very confident in their roster, too, there. I don't think they think they're going to beat Ohio State. But I think Penn State thinks defensively they're pretty athletic. They got some guys to turn on offense. So, you know, that's another big game for James Franklin. And, you know, you're supposed to beat West Virginia. But, man, there's a lot of pressure in there in a game like that. And West Virginia, that place is going to be electric. I guarantee you they will be ready to roll come game time. And if they win that game, there's not going to be a couch within 300 miles.
Tire fires, too.
Place.
Hey, Rusty, speaking of well-hydrated fan bases, LSU will be out in Vegas on Sunday to take on USC.
Goodness.
Yeah, come on with that one. Hey, here's my question about this, and I won't ask you to say, hey, you know, who's going to be good or not good. But tell me why LSU should have higher expectations for their defense after what they were last year. I look at LSU and I think, oh, you know, this is a game they should probably win. You know, go out and bully Lincoln Riley. But you look at what LSU's defense was a year ago, and they were the ones getting bullied constantly. So I don't personally, Rusty, believe this is a great matchup for LSU.
Yeah, I mean, you look at – that's the question, man. But I'll say this. I talk to a lot of coaches, know a lot of guys. Blake Baker is very respected. They go out and get him from Missouri. And, you know, they paid a lot of money for him to come over. Now, you know, X's and O's, Jimmy's and Joe's, LSU's got them. I don't know if they're as good as they quite have been on defense at times. You know, you got to figure out what you're going to do with Perkins and how to use him the best way. You know, for me, I'm not the
defensive guru. Doesn't it blow your mind, Rusty? Just let him rush the freaking pass.
Listen, I know this. When he burst onto the scene against Arkansas in that game his freshman year, it was Micah Parsons. Yes. That's what he was doing. When they played Georgia in the SEC championship, Georgia ran the ball at him. They were not playing around away from him. They were not playing around with pass. They were putting big bodies on him. Well, now you're 2 years later. You've seen everybody's game plan against him. You got to use this guy because this is the last year you're going to have him. He's going to be playing on Sundays next year. And I really think just turn this guy loose, man, and let him do his thing. So I think you're going to see a lot of that. Let me give you one quick comment on this. Garrett Nussmeier, I'm telling you right now, offensively at quarterback, this could be a guy now. I'm a big fan of his. I was a big fan of Bo Nix. You know, knowing Bo Nix in high school, spending some time around him, you got that coach's son mentality. You know, Nussmeier obviously got that to him. And just watching him make some throws. I called my guy, Shea Dixon, longtime LSU guy, owns our site for Own Three last week. I said, Shea, am I wrong? He goes, Rusty, they think this guy – now, he's not Jaden Daniels, but this guy right here, he's got some special to him. So I'm very interested in that. But if you want to talk about as a whole LSU, they got to get better defensively or they're going to be a four-loss team this year if they're not improved on that defensive side. But you have got to figure out what to do with Perkins, man. Turn that dude freaking loose.
All right, Rusty, the coffee works better if you don't mix it with Valium. Just saying.
I just now figured that out.
Have a good one, brother. We appreciate
you. That's why
you're
around, Rob. I appreciate you, my man.
I try to be a wise old sage or something. What's coming up in Life of Squid, brother?
Nick Saban's doing more than just college game day, and I'll let you hear what he's doing next. On the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and...
The Odyssey app!
That's right.
It's more than just sports talk. This is the Morning Shift.
I'm in.
Me too.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Star brought to you by Mark Spain. Go to markspain.com. Get to packing. Love Rusty Manziel. Has a story for everything. If I tell him, Rusty, you hear Oasis is getting back together. He goes, let me tell you, that Liam Gallagher could spin it when he played at Leeds.
Yeah, didn't tell you he got a story about it? Rusty's your best.
I'm not sure I realized that about the Centennial kid, man. That's unbelievable. Yep. Starting in Minnesota. When that's up near my neck of the woods. And I was coaching high school about that time. So that's interesting, man. It's good stuff.
Well, you know,
stuff.
Whenever Rusty says, let me tell you, it's going to be something interesting. That should be a drinking game.
Let me give you a tidbit.
Yeah.
Like, oh, God.
Every time we interview him, when we hear, let me tell you, Well, you got to take a shot, you'd be blasted by the end of the interview.
I tell you, the difference in Mike Johnson and Russell Manziel, Rusty Manziel, is the knowledge that he has that you just don't.
Is that what it is? speaking of drinking games, I told Bo this. Rob, I was calling the Corky Kell a couple of weeks ago and had some buddies that were at home having beers, listening, synced up the TV and listening to me call the game. And I can't remember what both the words were, but they were playing a drinking game. And every time I used the word explosive or penetrate.
Nothing like explosive penetrate.
They were hammered at the end of this game.
Big pause.
Yeah, big pause. They were hammered at the end of this game. And I was like, yeah, good for y'all.
Oh, by the way, Jacoby Brissett named a starting quarterback in New England. That seems like the safe pick, right? Safe choice over Drake May.
Good for him too, man.
Yep, yawn.
He's made quite the career.
Just bouncing around?
Yeah. How many teams has he actually started for at this point?
How many college teams did he start for? I mean, that's
two.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy, right? I mean, he bounced around in college a little bit, found his footing.
He's playing guard for the Atlanta Dream this weekend. He's everywhere.
I think he is one of the better unknown leaders in the sport of football. I'd heard something that he would leave notes for his teammates, like personal handwritten notes for his teammates when he was at NC State. Just an incredible
handwritten, huh?
Yeah, that's right. You know, not Bobby Petrino typed out, mass printed. He's one of the
laminated.
You know, he's one of the better people in football. You know, kind of like I'm one of the better people at this radio station.
It's time for a look back
into the mind of Squid Billy.
Hey, he might even talk sports.
This is the life of Squid on the morning shift.
Brought to you by the W Sauce and Status Truck and Trailer Repair. Driven by excellence, building successful partnerships.
Many have bought Tribble, but few have defeated the nation. Squid Nation. We, a little W Sauce, a little Bloody Mary mix. Key West style, baby. Garrett Chapman approved, it is. And you've had your last bottle, sir. And my friends at Status Truck and not you, Garrett, Tribble, because you know he's mocking. And call my boy Anthony at Status Truck and Trailer Repair. Big truck, small truck, medium sized truck. It doesn't matter. Yeah, you might
make sure you don't park that truck in your level lawn. Oh no. Okay, this is. Okay,
you might have a Chevy Love truck. It doesn't matter. They'll fix it for you. The official truck and trailer repair of
We Are the Nation.
Squid Nation. All right. Nick Saban, he is retired from Alabama. Their program will go the way of the Buffalo here soon, because there's no more Saban.
They're not extinct, Buffalo.
Well, White Buffalo. Yeah.
They were for a little bit. Well, they were pretty close anyways.
They were close.
We had to put them on the watch list, which is where Alabama's program is currently. But Nick Saban's moved on to greater things. He's apparently running a VRBO, you know, like his, you know, kind of one of those Airbnb type things.
He's going to charge you $200 that $200 cleaning.
Well, apparently fee. At Nick Saban's VRBO, it's a no fun zone.
Is there a pool?
Check-in time is 3.
It's 2:55.
I know.
Is this what he's doing now?
Have a seat. As your host, I have some rules. First, no showers longer than 5 minutes. This isn't a spa. There's no streaming, only cable television.
Any games for the kids?
No games, no fun. The kids aren't even allowed in the house.
And at one point, they laugh and he goes...
That's funny, man.
He goes, no, it's a rule. And he points to it.
Let me tell you how hard, and you know me, you've been around me long enough. That joke about check-in time being 3 and it being 2:55 hits so close to home for me.
You
dude.
Got stressed out just hearing that joke. Like, what time is it?
Dude, I'm just telling you. Like, if you weren't in the meeting room seated like 10 minutes before the meeting started, you felt like, I mean, I was sweating, dude. I mean, it was just that, and it's something I still live by 15 years later. I'm still a nervous wreck to be even close to being late for something.
You know what the funniest part about Mike is?
That traumatized you that little bit there.
Oh, he is nervous when other people are not there when he's there. Like, so Mike and I pull in normally anywhere within, what you say, 5 minutes of each
yeah.
other
yeah,
in right. the building. And one day it was 5:12. And I was just, it was one of those mornings where I was moving slow. But it's 5:12, dude. And I've been to parking deck. Hey. I'm reading the text in his nervousness. Hey, what? Everything good?
What's going on, dude? Got work to do. And got radio to do, man.
I'm like, yeah, man. Just moving a little slow. I'm. And this was early in the existence of this show. So now, if I'm moving slow, I'll text him at like 4:45. Hey, man, I was moving a little slow this morning. It might be a little after 5 before I get there.
I told Squid I was running late. We were going to Firebrand. I said, hey, man, I'm running a little bit behind. And he goes, are you actually running behind, or is it like Mike running behind? And I was like, well, I'll be there at like 5:02. So I'll try to pull in there as quick as I can.
You know, a lot of people look at Saban as humorless. I think he's pretty low-key funny, isn't he?
He's hilarious. Hilarious.
Dry humor?
You get to know him, man. Oh,
is
God,
it dry
so
humor?
Funny. Yeah. It's as dry as it comes, but I think it's funny when he starts laughing at himself. You know, I have those friends that have dry humor, but then they start laughing at themselves every now and then.
Fun.
That's when it's the most funny. Like when he starts cracking up his own joke, starts making fun of people, and then starts cracking up his own joke. Uses that coach speak.
Yeah, you know, Mike Conti is our program brand manager, whatever you want to call it, program director, and there was the more and more I've gotten to know him, the more and more I think he's funny. Because he has a dry sense of humor.
Oh,
and it's very like that Pennsylvania dry humor.
Yeah. The funniest thing was, remember the NFL draft, they did it under lockdown.
Yeah.
And he's the Patriots are making their pick. I think he's in the basement or something like that. And Archer was just dying laughing. No matter whoever's making the pick, they're in various places in a house.
Yeah.
He's out on the veranda about to make the pick for the Seattle Seahawks. And Archer's just dying laughing. It's dry humor, low-key funny. But, you know, nobody will ever be as funny as Tom Coughlin, though. Right?
Is that what it is? Not Parcells?
Dude, I never look at Tom Coughlin. Every time his name is mentioned, I think of him on the sidelines in Green Bay, and it was the 07 season.
Off.
And his, like, face is so... His face is as red as the 9 on 92.9, and it's just hilarious.
All right, Dylan's panicking. We got to go to break and a handoff to the steakhouse. It's Mike Johnson and Sandra coming up next. Shh. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.